Turn to Acts chapter 9. Now, we've been talking about Saul of Tarsus. And Saul is going to end up being the Apostle Paul. And again, I want to reiterate, there is a staging that is clear. The foundation is the gospel of what? God. And what is the gospel of God? That Christ is the Son of the living God. And it was preached all the way back in Matthew chapter 3 when Jesus got baptized, God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." It was preached. It's the foundation of all gospels and stuff. When Paul gets saved in Acts chapter 9, I do believe that Paul got saved in Acts chapter 9. But it's not apparent in the scriptures that he preached the gospel of Christ until Acts chapter 13. Okay? So what did he preach in this short period of time, and who did he preach to? He preached the gospel of God and to the Jews that he persecuted. Remember when he says, "I persecuted the church of God"? Well, that's it. Turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 20. Acts chapter 9, verse 20. And straightway he, that's the Saul of verse 19. Then was Saul a certain day with the disciples that were at Damascus. And straightway he, Saul, see that? He, Saul, preached Christ in the synagogues that he was the Son of God. That's what he preached, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You got it? He didn't go around preaching anything at this point that you can see in Scripture, DBR. That's what he preached. You got it? That's what he preached. It isn't until Acts chapter 13 that you add the S factor, but who that S factor is, and as we go, this is where his name is changed. Yes. Yes, I'm going to get... All right, I'm getting ready to do that, so that it will not be bad. Yeah, there is no S factor in Scripture. That is true. That is man-made. But it's to demonstrate what is actually happening. Now, I want you to look in Acts chapter 13. And I'm going to start in verse 1. Acts 13, verse 1. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon, that is called Niger, and Lucas of Cyrene, and Manaen, which is brought up Herod the Tetrarch, with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me and Barnabas, and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." It is obvious to me that in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, that Paul's ministry really gets started. So what was he doing before? Yeah, but what? He was just proving that he knew the same Christ that they knew. Because if he didn't prove that, when he started preaching this other stuff, they would just think he's absolutely nuts. It's kind of like he had to prove that he believed the same thing they believed. Is that what Peter believed? Yeah, the death, burial, and resurrection. And for him to go back to Acts chapter 9 for just a minute. Now, he's getting ready to get separated onto the work wherein he's called. Go back to Acts chapter 9. What? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they were... Well, that's what I'm going to show you. Look in, I think it's verse 25. Look in 9, verse 25. Then the disciples took him by night and led them down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, is saying to join himself to the disciples, but they were what? Why? He's out there persecuting the church. And believe not that he was a disciple, but Barnabas took him and brought him into the apostles. Who are the apostles? The Peter, James, you know, John, the 12 that are... Put in Matthew chapter 10, 2, 3, and 4. Right there. Okay, write that in your Bible right there. Those are the apostles. And he's back, Barnabas gets them in to see the apostles. Now there's something fascinating. I also want you to put Galatians chapter 2, verse 6, 7, and 8, but we're not going to turn there yet. I just don't want you to miss the note. Compare Galatians 2, verse 6, 7, and 8 right there before we turn. At verse 27, where the apostles. Verse 27 again, I'm going to read it. But Barnabas took him and brought him unto the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Well, where did it talk about him preaching boldly at Damascus? Verse 20. And he straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. Where was he? Verse 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened, and Saul, then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at what? So you need to by verse 27, that's reference back to verse 20. Y'all with me? And what was he doing? Verse 22, and Saul increased more in strength, confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. This is him, no doubt. This is him. That's all he was preaching. Now, there has been an argument or two about whether he got saved in Acts chapter 9 and started preaching immediately. There's some grace believers that believe that he would immediately start telling people he got saved. But it doesn't say that in the scriptures. And who he's talking to, it's not obvious to me. Why? Because he goes back 14 years later, and then their eyes are open to what he's preaching to the Gentiles, which is fascinating to me for a lot of reasons. But what I want you to see in the passage is not to bring up and stir up old elements of an argument that I may have had with one or two brethren, but just to understand that it isn't in the scriptures. Could he have done it? Yeah. Does it say so? No. And all you can go by is what the Bible says so. So all you can do is assume if you do anything else, and you know what that does. You're in trouble. Assumption is where we started veering off from the scriptures in the first place. Well, I think it might have been God might have done this. Well, who cares what you think? What I want to know is what does God literally say? What is he saying? So go back to verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him unto the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and that how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Well, we know what he was proving. What was he proving? Verse 22, that Jesus is what? Very Christ. He's it. Now, go back to Acts chapter 13. Now, this is when it gets going. Verse 2. Acts 13, verse 2. Follow along with me. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They sent them away. So they, Barnabas and Saul, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed Seleucia, and from thence sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry, a minister. And when they had gone through the Isles of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, whose name was Bar-Jesus, And when the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, desired to hear the word of God, but Elymas the sorcerer, for his name is by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is called, who also is called Paul, first time has changed. Now a lot of people wonder why he changed his name. Paul is a Gentile name. He probably, his first convert was Sergius Paulus. So he took his name as his, and that's where he became the Apostle Paul. Okay? No. I mean, look, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him, and he says, O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, talking to the sorcerer, thou enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now, he gets in to start preaching. They lose from Paphos, and they come to Perga, and they go on. So I'm going to start where they're starting to preach in the synagogue again in verse 16. Well, in 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Now, I want you to think for a minute. Who's there on the Sabbath day? Jews is right. And then Jewish proselytes. I'm sorry. Proselytes. And Gentiles that what? Feared God. Is that okay with that? Now, this is where the S factor came in. You thought I forgot you, didn't you, Dale? No, I did not. The S factor entered in with this message that he's about to preach. Now, let me tell you. The law wasn't as kind as most people thought the law was. There were things that you did that there was nothing you could offer as a blood sacrifice to get forgiveness. Did you know that? Most people think, well, you can offer any blood sacrifice you want. And that isn't the case. Now, I'm not going to teach on the law today. Yeah. It's like judgment done, let's go. Absolutely. And so this man, Saul, who's now is Paul, and his name from that point on is changed. He never goes back and really says anything about Saul anymore. Now he's on a new ministry. The Holy Ghost has separated him, and he's doing something that is totally different than what was before. You understand that? Deborah, go like this, or you understand how important that is? This is a continuance. Well, I think there is. Peter's gospel that includes the gospel of God and the DBR, we'll call it the gospel of the kingdom, which he preaches in Acts chapter, this is Acts chapter 9. So keep that in mind. 9. In Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching the DBR from about verse 25, I think it is, through 36, thereabouts. And what he's preaching is this. So this is basically a continuation until the S factor enters in. Y'all with me? What is the S factor? Well, let me go down the way Paul addresses it. Look in verse, I think it's 16. Well, let's just read down. I just read 14. Let's do 15. And after reading the law, and they heard the law and the prophets how often? Every Sabbath day. The rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, You men and brethren, if you have any words of exhortation for the people, who is he talking to? Israel, Jews, put that in there. The people equals what? Jews. Say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hands and said, Men of Israel, who's he addressing? Pretty clear, isn't it? And ye that fear God, Gentiles or Jewish proselytes and on and on. Got it? Give audience. Now, do you think Paul would have included idol-worshipping Gentiles in this? No, he's very specifically designing who this gospel is sent to, and it gets some more clarity in just a few verses down. It gets a lot more clarity. Paul is not trying to be ambiguous or confusing. He's trying to lay this thing out pretty clear. Verse 17. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelled as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about of the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. I love that line. He put up with them, you know what I mean? And when he destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lots. And after he gave unto them judges for the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet, and afterwards they desired a king. He was the king, but they wanted a human king. And God gave them Saul, the son. I mean, he's going down through the whole history here. And then he says, verse 22, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom he gave testimony that I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. People say, well, but he was a murderer, an adulterer. And you're going to see why that's so important in this story in just a minute. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a what? Hold on to here and go to Isaiah. No, I'm sorry. Luke. I'm going to get him up here preaching, William. Don't shoo him. He's just practicing his vocal cords over there. He ought to be able to preach this. If any man in this room should be able to preach it, it ought to be Larry. Amen? He knows it. Yeah, no. Praise the Lord for it. I appreciate it. Luke chapter 1, are y'all there? Oh, you guys were faking it. I thought some of you guys were sniffing out pages back there. You got it? Good. Verse 67. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, now watch, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he, that is God, has visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant. Who did that include? Did that include you, Sterling? Huh? No, it didn't. That's exclusionary. You say, well, God's not a segregationist. Guess what he is? But it wasn't between black, white, yellows, and, you know, it wasn't that. It was between the Jews and the other people of the earth. That's how it was divided. And could the Gentiles become part of the Jews? How could they do that? Well, first they could become a Jewish proselyte by how? Circumcision. That's exactly right. Or they could just bless a Jew and they would be in that promise of Genesis chapter 12. Now, did you notice? Hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. You ought to have Zechariah 13 verse 1 there in your Bible. Take your time, write it out. Zechariah 13. And you ought to have Acts chapter 13, verse 23. Zechariah 13, verse 1. Aren't you glad I have a short-term memory still? Julie, I'll get it right, I promise. That didn't even affect her. She had no idea I was even talking to her. Renee, I was joking my short-term memory, and I said, Julie. I was joking. Thank you. You're a very beautiful young lady, too. Huh? Acts 13, 23. Go back to Acts 13, 23 now. So this thing is building And the S factor, see, Dale, I haven't forgot you yet, brother. I have not forgot you. I'm there for you. Whether you're dozing off or not, I don't know. Your head was down. I was like, Lord, please let Dale wake up now. Dale's taking some sinus medicine. And I think that rum and Coke probably took him in. That's it. Hey, I'm taking some cough medicine. I call over to Wayne. I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm drinking my cough medicine. I mean, some more of that bread pudding. Verse 23. This man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto the world a Savior. That's how they read it. That's what the church is teaching. That's not what it said, though, is it? It said raised unto Israel a Savior. Now, that did not include you. Alfred, did you get that? That ain't you. You're not Israel. Well, we're going to get to that in just a minute. You don't even need to be grafted in. The tree's actually being yanked out. Now, verse 24. When John had preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people, and you want to put Matthew chapter 3, and John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I'm not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes I'm not worth, shoes of his feet I'm not worthy to loose. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And he shall baptize you with one of two things, fire and the Holy Ghost. Go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Now I'm trying to build this case for you in your mind. Am I doing okay? Everybody still with me? Very good. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John, this is where he's quoting from right here. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. That's what we were just mentioning. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? Now, I'd always heard all my life you wanted that baptism of fire. Oh, boy, that's what you wanted. How many has here heard that at one time or another? Yeah. Well, yeah. That's the Methodist. But they all believe it in some degree. He says, and he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Who's the shall baptize you? Who's the you in the context? Wow, Sterling, very good. Gets a gold star. Put in Israel. That's who the you is. Now, he didn't say he was going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And you can also fire. Look at verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand. Now, that isn't a ceiling fan or a baseball fan. That's a winnowing fan. And he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will gather the wheat in the garner, they get the Holy Ghost, but he will burn up the chaff, which is just nothing good about it, with what? So part of Israel is going to get baptized with the Holy Ghost, and the other one's going to be what? Burned with unquenchable fire. Which baptism do you think you really thought you might want now? You see, verse 12. They skip verse 12, therefore people don't really get the gist of the story. The winnowing fan does nothing but separate the wheat from the chaff. And that's what he's doing. He's going to separate Israel. Wheat goes where? Into the garner. Which is going to be the what? Kingdom. And the chaff? Into what? The lake of fire. You got it? I guarantee you don't want the baptism of fire in that case. Amen? All right. Go back. Acts chapter 13, verse 26. Men and brethren, the children of the stock of Abraham, who would that be? Israel would be Jacob's son, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the sons of Abraham. And whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. You see that? So this message that he's separating on he says, this message that is going to include the S factor is for who? Israel, proselytes, and Gentiles that feared God. You got it? And it was under the promise. Why did the Gentiles get it? If you bless Israel, God has to what? Bless you. You understand? There's that covenant in Genesis 12. God promised. He can't break His promise. God's not a man that He should lie. Numbers 23, right? God's not a man that He should lie, nor the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said and will He not? He promised. Got it? So as this gospel goes forth, first His name is what? Saul. Then it's changed to what? Paul. And then He's separated onto the gospel of Christ. He starts preaching the gospel of Christ, which is where the S factor comes in. Got it? Okay. Now, this is so dadgum important, it is unbelievable, guys. And I'm going to show you why. And a lot of you guys have heard this over and over again, but it doesn't ever hurt to get back in. Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty because I'm trying to show you who the Apostle Paul is. You know, we talked about that he was a Jew and that he was zealous and that he counted everything but dung and all that. We went through those the last couple Wednesdays, right? Now I'm trying to define his mission and what he's doing. So that there, and you ought to mark up your Bible and have it scored. Why? You'll want to show this to somebody. Amen? You want to show it. Now watch. I'm going to skip down some of the death, burial, and resurrection and all that he talks about between 27 and 36. Okay? Come to 37 talking about the resurrection. Well, let's take our time. Okay? There's no reason to rush this. Are you all planning to go anywhere tonight? No, I'm just kidding. For they that dwelled at Jerusalem, verse 27, and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day. And we've got to remember, what were they doing there? They were on the Sabbath day, and what had they just done? Look in verse 15, after the reading of the law and the what? For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voice of the prophets which were read every Sabbath day, they fulfilled them in condemning him. They fulfilled the scriptures. You got it? He's preaching the same kind of murder indictment that Peter preaches in Acts chapter 2, verse 25. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they, Pilate, that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him into the sepulcher. But God has raised him up from the dead. What are they preaching? They are preaching DBR. Death, burial, and resurrection. That's what he's preaching there. You know what every Baptist preaches? Death, burial, and resurrection. You know every Church of God? The death, burial, and resurrection. What they've been missing and why they're not saved is the S factor. Now, I'm not saying all those people are saved. There are people that are saved in those churches, you understand? But they don't preach it the way God wrote it. And so people are confused on the S factor. Well, did God die for all the sin? I mean, I'm going to give you some questions here in a minute, and I hope I don't run out of time and you'll leave me. I hope I can get this clear because they may preach Jesus is the Christ, and that's a very important thing, amen? And they may talk about Jesus and all the things, but if they don't understand the S factor, guess what? They're lost. You understand? All right. Watch this. But God raised him from the dead. You just heard the DBR right there, so you may want to put that in there, DBR. And when he was seen many days, which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are as his witness unto the people. I'd put 1 Corinthians 15. I'm in 31. And I would put that in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. And he declared unto you glad tidings, good news, how that the promise, notice the promise again, that promise was mentioned in verse 23. That promise was mentioned in Luke chapter 1.
North Carolina.
The promise.
The conference went well.
Was made unto the Father. God fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that He raised up Jesus again. He's preaching the death, burial, and resurrection. He's preaching the gospel of
the Pulse Smart Pen from
God, right here. As it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten Thee. As concerning that He raised Him up from the dead, and died no more to return to corruption, He said on this wise, I will give the sure mercies of David. Wherefore, He saith also in another Psalm, Thou shalt not suffer Thy Holy One to see what? He was going to raise Him from the dead, wasn't He? And David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw what? No corruption. Now here's the verse. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. Thus the entrance of the S factor. What is the S factor? Well, here's your life out here. And your life is filled with what? Sins, and you are sinner. And Jesus Christ, I gotta go way back here. Brenda, were you laughing at me? Now, we've been married 26. If you want to make it to that 26 on Friday, I would quit laughing at your husband while preaching. And people don't know I'm joking. I'm kidding her. She can say whatever she wants. And if she wants to laugh at me and make fun of me in front of all these people, she can do that. She's always right. Died. Christ made. God made Christ to be what?
Doctrine.
Neither now, give let me tell you.
Fables and endless genealogies, which men.
How many sins does that leave you over here?
Minister questions.
Zero.
Rather than godly
edifying. All right, so let me ask you a few questions. Why is it that there's some people that go, well, I believe Christ back to the title,
but must once again get my former champ Forrest with it. Left for Head 2 presents
C106 Ortiz versus. Never be forgiven. Well, didn't Christ know whether you were going to do that? Wouldn't that have been a sin? Wouldn't He have died for it on the cross? How about if you believe and then you shot your grandmother dead? Could you still be saved? Why? He died for your sins. That's very difficult to understand. Because people say, well, you've just backslid. You may not make it back to God. You better pray it up and get it straight with God. Amen? Well, folks, when the S factor came in, right there, where we're reading it, the entrance of the S factor came in was the first time they'd ever heard this. In fact, look what he says to clarify it in verse 39. And by him, by who? The Lord Jesus Christ. All that believe and behave themselves and do everything right. All you got to do is believe that Jesus did it all for you and me. Totally paid the price, isn't He gracious and nice? That all you got to do is believe. That's it. You don't have to run anywhere, go anywhere. You know, it's done. Now watch what he says. By him, and by him, all that believe are justified from what? All things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You know, you couldn't be a blasphemer and God forgive you. If you came in and say, I'm worshiping other gods, they would take you, capture you, and take you out immediately and stone you. You know the story about the adulterers there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. She committed adultery. You know, what did they do? They were pulling her out of the city immediately. And they were going to do what? Now, he made a point that you without sin cast the first stone. But the point that I'm making is they were in judgment just as the law required. Y'all understand? You could have committed adultery and get away with it. You know what? There wouldn't be a single man or woman alive right now in this room if that was true. Without the S factor, there'd be no hope. How does it say in other places about this S factor? Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Aren't you glad you got me as your Bible teacher? Thank you. Praise the Lord. I appreciate you. 1 Corinthians 15. Thank you. Who's your favorite preacher? Now, not your daddy, because your daddy's like an assistant preacher. Who's your favorite real preacher? You know who it is. Huh? Sterling? I've never heard... Oh, don't let him. He's got you duped. Did he give you an autograph with lots of zeros behind it? No. I'm going to win you over. You're going to love me better yet. Trust me, I'm working on it. 1 Corinthians 15, everybody there? All right, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Well, where's the first time he preached it? Acts 13, 38 and 39. I preached unto you which also you received and wherein you stand, by which also you may be saved. You shall be saved. You are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. There's the S factor. What is the S factor? Christ died for our sins. How many sins? What is the S factor, Dale? Period. Gone. Isn't that good? Even died for smokers, brother. You sound terrible. He doesn't smoke, I'm kidding you. Because you're still in sin. He didn't take the want to away. He took the judgment. You're in Adam. And as long as you're in Adam, but one day, sweet lady, God's going to come back with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and we're going to come out of these robes of flesh that have disturbed us, and we will be without sin. Yes. That's in Revelation, and it's also in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Wouldn't it even apply to the S factor? And I'm going to show you that in just a minute, so hang with me. I'm going to get to Alfred. We got somebody to text in. Let's see. Bobby Harris, we love you too, brother. He says, preach it. We appreciate you, Pastor. Thank God for the S factor. Amen. Amen. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Verse 13. S factor. This is the S factor. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you. How many? How many? How many's all? All of them. That's the S factor. That is great stuff. Amen? Now, why didn't He teach that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Go to Romans 16. This is the part that you've heard hundreds of times, but it doesn't hurt. With new people here and people listening on the internet, we need to go over some of this thing. So you that are old geezers and stuff, just know that this isn't for you, it's for the newbies. Okay? Yeah, Larry, what do you mean, geezer? Now watch this. Very important. Romans 16, 25. Now to Him that is a power to establish you according to My gospel. What is that gospel? The gospel of Christ. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, read it with me, which was kept secret since the world began. Now hold on. Here it is in Acts chapter 9. The first time it's revealed in Scripture is 13, but I think you got it in Acts chapter 9. But at 13, it's fine. You know, people try to divide and get divisive? That is divisive. I slipped there, didn't I? They try to get divisive over this issue. Look at me. Get a zoom in real quick. You see any care in that eye? I don't care. It isn't going to divide me at all what you think. Why? Because somewhere in there it entered. Amen? Somewhere you say, well, I want to be exact. Well, you better become God then, because ain't none of us down here but humans. You know, you can't get divisive over the little detail. Listen, let me tell you what, if someone believes something a little bit different on this, as long as they believe that Christ died for their sins, we're going to have fellowship. You understand? It doesn't matter. I don't care if they're Church of God or Assembly of God or Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian. Hey, if they believe the gospel, we're going to fellowship. Did I ever shun you? No. She said she believes that. Hey, I'm okay with that. William came to me and said, I believe it. Hey, praise God, join the group. You know? Deborah said, I've been to church all my life and confused. She got it. The light came on. Guess what? She can join the group. I didn't join her. She got joined. So, watch this again. Now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, everybody, which was kept secret since the world began. Okay? Did they teach it in the Old Testament? Did they teach it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? Did they teach it in the first part of the book of Acts? No. It was kept secret. That's what the Bible said. Amen? Then I've got to believe it was. Now you got to say, why was it, preacher? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. It should be just one page. You've got to get this down in your mind. I'm telling you guys, there's people walking around that think they know something about the Word of God. You start to ask them, they have no clue what's in this book. You don't be ignorant. You know what? Ignorant is not bliss. You know who came up with that idea? The devil. He doesn't want you to have a knowledge of this book. If you have a knowledge of this book, you've got power. You know what? It's the preaching of the cross that is power. And when you understand this message and this S factor, you'll start to get it. Amen? Why didn't he let it out? Well, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world. And by the way, who are the princes of this world? Satan and his angels. That come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, which had been kept how long? Kept secret since the world began. Amen? I would put Romans 16, verse 25 right there, if I was you. Good. If you got it, that's great. If you don't, write it in. There's people here that might not have it. Take time, write it in. Verse 7 again, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained, when? Before the world. How long has he kept it secret? Since the world began. But he ordained it when? So let's go back in time. You guys follow me. You go back here. Here's the tree. Before the earth ever got started, God had a plan. Are you listening to me? And his plan was, there's somebody sitting in Montgomery, Alabama that needed to hear this message of grace. Are you listening to me? Or maybe watching us on the internet. And before the foundation of the world, he made a plan. What was it? He said, son, if you will go to that cross and die for Barry's sin, then I can get him into heaven. He said, but how will you let him know? He said, I'll put my Holy Spirit into the preacher's mouth and he'll preach the gospel and he will hear it. You got it? So they had that council. Nobody knew. Adam's born. What happens to Adam? Falls. Then everybody that is born on the earth after Adam is not made in the image of God. They're made in the image of Adam and this fallen man. And he said, we came into this world as what? Sinners. You know why babies die? You know why infants die that are 2 years old or 6 months old? Why do you think those babies die? Because they're in sin. They haven't committed sins. They were born in sin. In Adam, all die. Why? There, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That baby sinned. Why? He was born in it. You know, when I see two black people, and they have a baby, you know what I'm expecting? A black child. It would really freak me out if an orange one came out. I'm like, wow, I don't think you're the father. You two white people, and all of a sudden a black one comes out and says, there's something wrong there. Amen? Well, you know what you get when you get two sinners? You get a little sinner, a little stinker. And you know what? Babies are the most lying things anyway. Have you ever noticed a baby? They're the biggest liars. I'll never get mine. Wham! Wham! Pick it up, you know, do the finger stick and, you know, no poop, no pee. And I'm like, set the baby down. Wham! Wham! Get the bottle, run over there, stuff it in its mouth. You know what that baby wants? It's lying. There ain't nothing wrong with it. It just wants you to come hold it. They're born in sin. You ever notice you never taught your children to lie? They did it really well on their own. I mean, I can imagine Sterling as a young little boy. Don't do that. Don't do what? Don't touch that TV. You know? We're sinners. We were born in sin. Even if we had not committed sins, we are still sinners. Y'all understand? Smoking doesn't make you a sinner. What made you a sinner? Being in Adam. You got it? You guys are great students. Where was I? Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Who's the princes of this world? He's the prince and the power of the air, isn't he? For had they known it, the what? The mystery of verse 7. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If God had revealed back here the S factor, Satan would have not what? They would have kept him off the cross. So God kept it a secret. You with me, Alfred? You're getting this, aren't you? God, are you getting it, Dale? God kept it a secret. Couldn't reveal it through his 12 apostles over here. Why? Had they known it, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. And if Jesus Christ had not died on that cross, you'd be in trouble. There'd be no hope. And so God, in his magnificent wisdom and his holy ways, kept it a secret. His compassion and he reveals it in Acts 13, 38 and 39 through the Apostle Paul, a gospel that he couldn't reveal before the cross because had they known it. And so people that are teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, can they get saved there? No, why? The S factor isn't even known until right there. So churches that just go Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, most of those people are lost. Now, could there be people that are saved there? Sure. But are they teaching the doctrine of salvation? No. And the reason why is they're concentrating on repentance and walking the aisle and doing things and you being part of it. They're not teaching the S factor. What is the S factor? That Christ died for our sins. How many?
All.
He said in Colossians 2, the uncircumcision of our flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Well, hang on. You can't do that and believe 1 John 1:9. Go to Colossians chapter 2. You can't believe Colossians chapter 2 at the same time you're believing 1 John 1. Go to 1 John 1. Aren't you glad you got me as your Bible teacher? I'm telling you, folks, people will flat out confuse you. Now you get Colossians chapter 2 in one hand and 1 John. Now how many here has heard 1 John 1:9, 1 John 1:9, 1 John 1:9? People that do 1 John 1:9 are lost. They're listening to the DBR, DBR, DBR. Confession, confession. It's all about you. It's all about you getting down. Repentance, repentance. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Going to forgive you? Already done. Yes. It's already done. It's done deal. It isn't about you asking. It's about you believing that he did it. It's your faith. It is not you asking. If it's up to you ask, how do you know if you asked right? It's already done. When was it done? At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Why? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. I mean, come on, you got it. You see, the whole thing is it's already done. And Alfred, you hit right on the nose, buddy. The people don't really believe it. They believe he'll only be forgiven if they ask for it. Well, when did he forgive you? He ain't getting back up there if you want him to. It's done. All your sins have been wiped clean. God, hallelujah, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. But go to 1 John 1:9. How can you believe that and believe 1 John 1:9 at the same time? 1 John 1:9, you all there? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Well, what happens if we don't confess it? You see, that doesn't match with Colossians chapter 2. What is Colossians 2 saying? Having forgiven you what? All trespass. Has he forgiven you? Or is it based upon your confession? See, 1 John 1:9 comes out after the rapture. Hebrews through Revelation is over here. And guess who that's written to? Israel. You cannot believe 1 John 1:9 and Colossians chapter 2 at the same time. And you know how many people are lost because they think they have to confess them? We used to go to eat, Larry and I, with one of the brethren that came here. He's now in Texas. And he would sit at our dinner table and he said, Lord, forgive us of all of our sins. And Larry and I would look at each other and we're going, this guy's lost. And that went on many Sundays. I mean, not just one. I mean, many, many Sundays. I knew he was lost. He didn't know he was lost. And I'm preaching this little widow woman called Miss Brown. And the next Sunday, that big old fella came in sitting about where Miss Brenda is with his whole family. And he said, you know what? I've been faking it my whole life. Monday, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He'd been in the grace movement for 35 years and he could rightly divide as well as anyone I knew. But you know what he didn't have? He didn't have a Savior. He'd learned all the stuff. You can learn it. You can figure it all out. But what people need is a Savior. Larry was there that day. He confessed of salvation. And he never confessed that he ever had to confess his sins again. Never heard him say, Lord, forgive me. He believed that Christ had paid it all. See, you either believe he paid it all or you believe he hadn't. You either believe that your confession is a continuous thing to get right with God, or you believe that Jesus Christ died for them all at Calvary. Well, the yes factor is the fact that he paid it all for you. You know what? There isn't a single sin. You say, well, I'm a homosexual. Doesn't matter. God Almighty has forgiven you. You say, well, I'm a blasphemer. Doesn't matter. God has forgiven blasphemers. You say, well, I'm a murderer. I hope not. But if you are, praise the Lord. He's died for you too. There's great hope. We've got the ministry of reconciliation. Listen, when that S factor entered in, that was the greatest thing that ever happened to this earth. But God couldn't reveal the S factor back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. For had they known it, they would never crucify the what? And so they kept a secret. And so only in the books of Romans through Philemon is this information given. Why? It's to the church, the body of Christ, which you're members of. To us today. Christ died for my sins. And so the great songs, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I mean, all the songs you can think of. Now, some of those new ones, they're just fluff. I'm telling you, they're just fluff. Garbage. Might as well throw them in. Some of them are biblical. Some of them ain't. Just like in that hymnal, there's some that are biblical and some that ain't. You are not going to tread the streets of gold, I can tell you that. And you ain't got a mansion waiting on you. That might be disappointing news. Oh, my goodness. Yes. No. Let me take you to Romans chapter 8. Go to Romans chapter 8. Let me clarify that. That's a good point. Thank you. If you feel any bit of condemnation, if you're feeling guilt, if you think that at one point or another I did this and I feel guilty, you're not forgiven. You're thinking that you have to get rid of that guilt. Listen, the good news is he's already put it away. And I want to give you an illustration. And this illustration is very important for anybody in this room and anybody watching on the internet. So get up close on me and make sure you can get... There's a man who has a wheelbarrow. And he drops that cable across the Grand Canyon, tightens up, and he calls the crowd and he says, you know what? I'm going to tightrope this Grand Canyon and I want you to come watch. And so everybody shows up. There are thousands of people all over the Grand Canyon, helicopters, women, crews, everybody's watching. And this man walks out there with a wheelbarrow and he gets out about a third of the way and he's on that wheelbarrow and he's almost halfway. And he backs up, and he gets to the edge, and he says, how many believe I can go all the way? Go ahead, how many? Yeah. Well, if you really believe, I want you to get in the wheelbarrow. Okay? Now you've gone from just believing to trusting. You understand, Dale? Once you get in the wheelbarrow, is there anything you can do? You know what the best thing for you to do if you're in the wheelbarrow? Relax. You don't even have to hang on. You better relax. Because you know what? It's not up to you. It's up to Him. Listen, Jesus Christ died for all of your sins. If you're feeling guilt or condemnation, let me tell you what. You're feeling it because you're not trusting what He did for you. Listen, it's done. If you've got a guilt complex or if you've got that feeling inside of you, you're lost. That's the Holy Spirit telling you that you're lost. Once you trust Christ, you don't have that anymore. Look, if you will, I'm going to go a few minutes over, but Terry does it all the time, so once in a while I can do it, right? I'm teasing Terry. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Everybody, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after... Is there any condemnation? You know why? All the guilt is gone. All the guilt is gone. It's done. You either believe it's done or you believe there's something you're doing to get it done. It's done. Say it's done. It's done. Get her done. He got it done. There is therefore what? Now no condemnation. Why? Hey, He's paid it all. Thank God. Amen. How much guilt should you feel? Zero. So you go out and you do a sin. We do it all the time. We covet after new houses. You ever feel guilty? You know what? It's amazing. Some sin people don't feel condemnation for at all. They lie. Hey, is that bill in the mail? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they don't feel guilty about that. They don't go, oh, I'm going to hell. But, you know, they get the Playboys out and the porno things on the thing. They go, oh, I'm going to hell. Yeah, you could have gone there for lying. What keeps you out of hell? He's already paid for them. The good news is the yes factor. He's paid for them. Where was I going to turn to? Romans chapter 5. Watch this. Verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Hey, we're not feeling His guilt. We're not feeling condemnation. Why? We have peace with God. How? Because we're good? No, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it all. Man, the first time I realized that He became sin, that I was made the righteousness of God, that was the greatest day in my life. I'm just telling you right now. Are you listening to me? Get a hold of this, because this is the difference between being lost and being saved. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the first verse I underlined in my Bible after getting saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For He, that is God Almighty, hath made Him," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us." What did He do? God made His Son to be sin for us. How many sins? All of them. "Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You know, Dale, when I start to feel those feelings of uncomfortableness, like, boy, I'm in sin, you know what I do? I reflect back on that cross and I think, man, thank God for Him. Gosh, thank God for Him. And that's why I tell you from the pulpit, man, I'm not any good. I'm as bad as the day is long. I'm a zero. I'm a nada, a zilch. I'm a nobody. But you know what? Because Jesus Christ went to that cross and died for me, I've got a ticket into heaven. I'm going to heaven. Say, you don't act like you're going into heaven. You don't act like a Christian sometimes. Amen, that's true. But that isn't what made me a Christian. It wasn't my action. It was the finished work of Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, where His blood was shed for me at Calvary. Man, you know what? There is therefore now no condemnation. Amen. You know what? The guilt is all gone. It's the greatest thing that ever happened. If people are feeling guilt or they have to confess, they're lost. Just note it. They're lost. They have never relaxed in the finished work of Calvary's cross. They've never figured it out. They've struggled inside their spirit. They've sat there. You know what? Well, you can learn rightly dividing until hell freezes over and still be lost. Ever learning and never able to come to knowledge. You can learn all the doctrines of the Bible and all the mysteries and still be lost. When was there a day that you were lost and you got saved? You went from utter darkness into light. I mean, when was that day? That's the day that matters. And if you don't have that day, you know what? You can say, you know what? I'm dropping it all now. I'm counting everything I've ever done as dung that I may claim Christ. What did He do for you? He paid it all. Man, I mean, there is no church in Montgomery teaching this any clearer than this one right here. This room ought to be absolutely packed. Amen? People need that guilt taken off. They have been burdened with it. Well, it was taken care of 2,000 years ago. They just don't know it. And that's the S factor. We're going to get to the G factor as He goes in and progresses through His things and what happens and where it starts happening. And we're going to get into the G factor in a little more detail. And what I'm really talking about is your Apostle Paul. That's what these last few series are really about, is about the man, Paul, and how he got started and where he's going. All right, any questions? I'm sorry to take you long, but that was a fabulous question at the end with Dale. So, any questions? Appreciate you watching on the internet. Thank you for tuning in.